If you would take your Bibles this morning and go with me to Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, chapter 8 this morning. I see Miss Liz Brown here. We're praying for Miss Liz and her family at this time as they had the homegoing service for her mother, and Miss Liz and Miss Mary, her sister, come with their mother here for many years, and her mother went home to be with the Lord this past week, and so we want to continue to pray for the Brown family at this time. Tremendous service yesterday in rejoicing over Miss Liz's mom's Savior, and time of rejoicing and celebration that she's with the Lord. I believe she was 92 years old and lived a wonderful life, and thankful for her life and investment in others. Reminder for our church family, we have a meeting tonight after the service, so reminder for all of our church family, immediately following the preaching time tonight, we'll meet together. I just want to remind you of that. Luke chapter number 8 this morning. We want to look at verse number 26. Verse number 26, we're going to read the passage here in Luke chapter 8, and then we're going to go back to Mark chapter 5. Mark brings in some more details or adds to the details that we find in Luke, but I want to read the scenario here in Luke chapter 8, and then we'll go back to Mark chapter 5. So the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee," speaking of the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed." We're going to turn back to Mark chapter number 5. And we'll use the narrative in Mark chapter 5 to walk through this story this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 in just a few moments. But we have the story in both of the Gospels. And I want to spend our time kind of walking through the scenario from Mark chapter 5, the one that we've just read here in Luke chapter 8. Let's pray. We'll ask the Lord's blessings upon our time this morning. Lord, we come before your throne this morning with praise and thanksgiving. And we understand that from a human perspective, we have nothing to offer individuals at the spiritual table of sustenance. So I have nothing to set before these people, but I believe the Word of God has much for us. And so I pray that you would help me in the declaration of the truth this morning to be clear and concise. I pray that we'd understand this narrative, this story that we find before us. And I do pray that this would be a help for each one. As we consider this from the viewpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ and this demoniac, and we consider the nature of the disciples and what they were observing, this is really unbelievable. And so I pray that you would work in each heart. If there be someone today that's still in bondage and in chains, to Satan's grasp, we pray that today they would be delivered from those chains of sin. And I pray that we as believers would understand the hope that is solely found in the Word of God. Would you direct, I pray, in our time together, in Jesus' name, amen. In 2014, I had the opportunity with a friend of mine to be able to travel for 2 weeks to the South Pacific to be able to participate in services in two different Pacific islands. The first week we spent in Fiji, and we were involved with a Christian camp with our missionaries, the Dekus, and we had a wonderful time in Fiji, and the Lord blessed in that camp setting, and primarily working with teenagers and things like this. And then we traveled from Fiji to the island of Vanuatu, and we landed in the capital island of Vanuatu, and then we transitioned down to a much smaller island, Espiritu Santo, and we're there on that island with our missionary Jeremy Pinero. As my friend and I were there in the airport in the transition, again, and not a very large airport, but transitioning from one location, one island in the nation to another island, we noticed two or three individuals, and as you're just kind of there in a holdover pattern, you kind of observe the people that are around you. You kind of do some people watching. Have you ever done that? And we noticed that this was just kind of an odd group. It was an odd grouping of individuals. So it appeared as though they were from different cultures, and three of the individuals appeared to be rather young. They appeared to be in what I would say is probably their early to late 20s. They were young. And then there was a gentleman with them that looked like some sage out of centuries ago. He had on a long robe, and he had a long beard, and he just didn't fit with the other three kids. They all looked as though they hadn't had a bath in quite a few days, and it was just an odd interaction. Again, just us observing them, maybe not interaction, but an odd observation. So my friend and I got on the plane, and we're going to travel from the capital down to this other island, and it just happened that this group of four were on the same plane with us, and they flew out with us. And so we're like, okay, just an odd grouping. We land in the city with our missionary, Jeremy Pinero, and as we land, we're kind of getting our luggage together and everything like this, and I'm, you know, just kind of doing some chit-chatting with the missionary and some informal conversation, but in it, we just had to say, I mean, we've been observing these people from the previous airport, now through the flight, and now in the new airport, and I just had to say, Jeremy, I'm like, Jeremy, would you take mental note of that grouping over there? And I'm going to ask you about them later. And he said, no problem, I'll tell you the story. And I was like, oh my, what is this story going to be like? So we get into the vehicle, and Jeremy says that this older man is the leader of some kind of herbal, earth-loving, crazy, kooky compound on the island, okay? And so I'm like, okay, that probably checks out. Long beard, robe, 2014. I was just like, okay, I'm not surprised by that. And he said, but those other three kids are all from Europe. And he said, I know them. And I was like, really? He said, yes. A number of months back, two of them had spent time in the jungles of Vanuatu. And they were found by local authorities living in the jungle by themselves, brother and sister, living in the jungles naked. And the local authorities came by them, and again, they were of European descent and so forth, and so light-colored in skin. And they're living in the jungles of Vanuatu with no clothes. And this was very spooky to the island people. And so when the tribal individuals came across them, they're like, something is not right. So the tribal individuals kind of went to their contacts in the city, it's impossible for me in this brief period of time to talk about the stark contrast between the city dwellers and the village dwellers, but there is a stark contrast. But they were so spooked that these individuals were living in this kind of a setting and in such a way and just acting so crazy that they themselves, who live already in a village setting and live already on the basis of antiquated lifestyles, no electricity, no running water, I mean, all those things, they're looking and they are spooked out by these two individuals from Europe. And so Jeremy said, I was actually involved, if I have the story accurate, I was actually involved with the city folks that were trying to help them. And now what it appears is that they've been back off the island and now they're coming back in with this guru. My point in telling you the story is that anytime you see this kind of a scenario unfolding, like we've read here in Luke chapter 8, and we'll read again in Mark chapter 5, of someone that is dwelling in such a way, something is not right. Jeremy's relaying the story and he's like, hey, even the tribal people knew these people are not where they ought to be. Something is not right. In our story, we have a man that is not right. There is something that is controlling his every action and his every decision. And my friend, something is not right. Now let's walk down through the story. And again, if you're in Mark chapter 5, we'll go down through these verses again. But what you notice would be number one, that he's shackled by the possession of demons. He is shackled by the possession of demons. Verse number one, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, Mark chapter 5, verse number one, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, speaking of Jesus Christ, immediately there met him out of the tombs, something is not right, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains. Because that he'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with tombs. Something is not right. Let me just tell you something. When you can scare the people that are living in these settings, and you can scare them so much that they would say, this guy is not right, you think for a moment about what the kids must have thought about this guy in this time frame. What did the children in these local communities think about this kind of a guy? When you hear the screaming and the crying out and all this kind of stuff, what do you think was said about him as his story spread through the generations of people that would hear? This is a man who is hopelessly possessed. Others have done all that they could do. He's dangerous to himself. He's dangerous to others. And it all comes back to being shackled by the possessions or by the possession of demons. Number one, he is cast aside by society. He's uncontrolled. He's unconfined. He's unclothed. And he's ungovernable. Everything in this man's life is determined by the demonic activity that has him shackled. His comings, his goings, his dwelling, his demeanor, his lack of dress, if you would. Everything is controlled by these demoniacs. He's cast aside by demonics or by society because of this possession from the demons. The Bible says he's also crying out. We have no idea what kind of language flowed forth from his mouth. I have in my lifetime interacted with at least one man that I believe was demonically possessed at the time that I was talking to him. Thankfully, and I may have mentioned this in different messages and so forth, but we were in a church van and we were dropping kids off on a Wednesday night after the services. And one of the girls that we dropped off went into her house, and the dad came out of the house. And I believe at that moment that he was, if I've ever interacted with anyone that was demon-possessed, it was him. And thankfully, he was on the other side of the van. So I had another adult male with me on the van as we dropped the kids off, and he rolled his window down, and the guy talked to me through his window and with him in between us, and I was thankful for that. But I mean, the way he talked was not normal. Again, Pastor, are you sure that he was demon-possessed? I don't know this side of heaven, but I think if I've ever interacted with someone that was demon-possessed, I think that man possibly was at that time. Just the way he talked and the things he said. And here in this passage, we have a man that is crying out because of the demoniacs that are working within him. There's no telling what it must have sounded like and what people heard in the middle of the night as the screams covered the valleys and the cries covered the nature of the landscape. Number one, he's been cast aside by society. Number two, he's crying out. As we consider this possession from the demons, he's also, the Bible says, cutting himself. Again, the Bible says there in verse number five, crying and cutting himself with stones. Boy, this individual's in bad shape. If you'll travel back with me to my illustration there in Vanuatu in that first-hand illustration, when I looked at those young people, you know how it is when you look at someone and you think in your own mind as to what they should look like. Tragically, through the years, we've interacted with some individuals that have been greatly affected by methamphetamines. And I've encountered young people or single adults that have been, their bodies have been riddled by the use of methamphetamines, and they are a shell of what they once were. And as I look at them, I can almost envision what they once were when they were healthy and everything was stable and right in their life. Imagine the family members of this man that's been possessed of demons and how much they must have responded when they felt like there was nothing else they could do, but they had in their own minds the pictures of what he once was. It was once that baby, that little boy that's playing, that one that had the sweet spirit or the one that was so kind to his other family members. And now they see him in this setting and he's actually cutting himself. And all of this flows forth from the demonic activity that's going on in his life. Now let me make something very clear this morning. A Christian cannot be possessed of the devil. The Bible says that a Christian can be oppressed by the devil, as we see in the life of Job. Job was able to bring much, or I'm sorry, Satan was able to bring much against Job, but he could not possess Job. Why? Because Job was possessed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the believer, who is the dwelling place of the temple of the living God, we cannot be possessed by a demon. But I tell you what, we can certainly be oppressed by demonic activity. This man did not know Christ, and so he is actually possessed of the devil, this demonic activity. This man's decline did not occur overnight. It's not as though at one point in time I'm doing everything normal and everything's going well, and the next day I'm just full of demonic activity. Can I warn the young people this morning? Can I warn the single adults? Can I warn the adults sitting before me that there are choices that are made every day, some of which we think are insignificant, but some of those choices are opening us wide open to demonic activity? Pastor, do you believe demonic activity is still well alive and full and involved with people in this day and age? I absolutely do. I tell you what, when people fill themselves with outside substances and turn themselves over to hallucinogenic drugs, they turn themselves over to matters in alcohol and liquor and everything like this, and they give themselves over to all these different things in the world and arena of music and acid rock and all these kinds of things, and then you pour all of them into the same cauldron and you start mixing it all up, it's not a surprise that someone would be wide open to demonic activity. Now please, do not walk out of the auditorium and think that I said rock music means that you're possessed by the devil. Okay? I'm just trying to encourage you to stay away from all of those ingredients that Satan would use in your life to open you to the potential of demonic activity if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Boy, we need to be alerted to it. The devil's alive and well, and his demonic forces are more than happy to occupy an individual. I think you and I probably see it on a greater level in some scenarios in Washington, D.C. And I'm not talking about those that serve in the House and Senate and all that kind of stuff. That was not my point. My point is solely to say to all of us that I tell you, there's been some individuals that have been at rallies. There's been some individuals that are downtown and different protests and everything like this. And I'm telling you what, I think they're instruments of the devil. But it just doesn't happen from this moment to the next moment. They've taken steps to allow this kind of thing to take place. Parents, would you be vigilant as to the influence for your influences of your kids? Would you be very careful and would you be very sobered about what things are influencing the eye gate of your children? What things are influencing the ear gate of your children? You know, I've had a gentleman that told me the hardest drug for him to overcome in his life was that of rock music. He said, I used to try this or I tried this or tried this. But I tell you what, Pastor, the hardest one for me to overcome was the world's music. And we must be vigilant as to the avenues in which Satan would desire to make ways into our children's lives. We must be vigilant because he is our adversary. He is the devil. And listen to me, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he leaves no shred of evidence of what once existed if you will give him an inroad. Here's a young man. No doubt what has transpired in his life, but this is a process of him being wide open to demonic activity. Cast aside by society, crying out, he's cutting himself. And I tell you what, I just want to warn every single one of us, the rejection of the Creator and the acceptance of everything from the world of Satan opens you wide open to satanic influence and possibly possession if you do not know Christ as your Savior. Number one, this man is shackled by the possession of demons. Number two, look at verse number six. Number two, the second thing that we see is he is shaken by the presence of deity. Shaken by the presence of deity. Look at verse number six. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. What? Well, the Word of God tells us that the devils also believe and tremble. You see, they already knew Jesus Christ. I'll get to more of that in just a moment. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Isn't it a shame that the demonic world knows exactly who Jesus is and we have human beings that reject who Jesus is? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. You see, the demonic is shaken by the presence of deity. Until Christ came ashore, this demon had free reign with the man and in the region. Nothing could shackle him. Nothing could stop him. He had free reign in the tombs. He had free reign where he went. Not one individual could stop him because of the demonic activity. And then Jesus came ashore. Boy, doesn't that just give you chill bumps? You see, there's no power that can stop the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God. What do we notice about their interaction? Number one, he revealed their name. We notice down in the passage that he says, what is thy name? Now, did Jesus ever ask a question for his own information? When you and I read the Gospels and Jesus says to someone, and he asks a question, did he ask a question for his own information as though he did not know? Jesus never asked one question because he did not already have the answer. Praise God. He knows the beginning from the end. I have to ask a lot of questions. Perhaps you're the same way. When I meet someone new, I want to ask a lot of questions. Where are you from? Where have you lived? Last night we did this interacting with Brother Jim and Miss Krista's daughter there. Man, I sat there and I'm asking her all kinds of questions. And she's still in college. I'm sure she thought, listen, buddy, I've only got 21 years of life. Okay, we've covered it all right? I've got nothing else to give you. And I'm like, I'm just asking question after question after question. I want to ask a lot of questions. Why? Because I don't have the information. Jesus never asked a question because he didn't know already. But he asked the question, and I'm telling you what, everybody that was standing around got the answer. What is thy name? Again, I can't even hardly talk about this without, I can feel it under my suit. But you're watching it from a human perspective. You are watching the battle of the ages in the darkness of the spiritual world as Jesus Christ steps ashore, and this one who has been unchained and unfettered for all this time steps ashore, and where he has bowed to no man, Jesus steps ashore. And Jesus says, what is thy name? And he responds with the name Legion. Now all we can do then is to assume it's a reference to the volume of demonic activity in his body. And the word legion means that of 4,000 to 6,000 Roman soldiers. It is possible that this man was indwelled, and hear me now in a very sensitive way, under the power, which is limited, of satanic activity, this man was far superior to any other mortal man. I can recall being at Christian camp when I was finished my sophomore year and I was headed into my next year of schooling. That summer we went to the wilds, and I remember hearing from a man who was preaching that week, and he was talking about the nature of demonic activity, and he was detailing a story that he was aware of in a major city right here in America where 19 police officers were used to bring down one individual. And again, he relayed that story to us, and as kids sitting there in the gymnasium there at the Wilds, all of us were spellbound as he told the story of demonic activity and what it took to try to control that individual under the power of Satan and his demons. But Jesus steps ashore. What is thy name? We are Legion. His name revealed the activity that was within the man. Number two, not only did Jesus reveal their name, but he revealed their number. Again, a full Roman legion was that of 6,826 men. We don't know for sure how many, but it revealed not only their name, but it revealed their number of total possible possessors of this man. Number three, as Jesus stepped ashore and this man is shaken by the presence of deity, Jesus revealed their nature. You see, they believe that there is one God, and they trembled. James chapter 2, verse number 19. You see, they want nothing to do with Jesus. That is, their nature is entirely different from that of the clean spirit of Jesus Christ. Evil spirits are diametrically opposed to the purity and holiness of Jesus Christ. The Son of God had come to destroy the works of the devil, and all of the evil spirits will eventually be destroyed. But you understand with me this morning that these demons have met Jesus before. You see, all of the angelic host was created by Almighty God, and they dwelled there in heaven, and they worshiped God until Lucifer, the chief musician, rose up in pride. And the Bible says that he took 1/3 of the band of the angelic host with him, and they were cast out of heaven, some reserved in chains, but some allowed to walk in the darkness of this world. And they're diametrically opposed to all that is God. He reveals their name, he reveals their number, he reveals their nature. And then number four, we have to say this, because this is truth, and this is Bible, and this is reality, but he revealed the nature of their nightmare. This is not made for TV or made by Hollywood movie theatrics. This is truth. This man scared everyone around him. He was a nightmare. I'm sure when children heard the screams or the calls that they at times would have cried out and said, "Mom, Dad, what is that?" I don't know if any of you have spent much time hunting or in the hunting arena or in that kind of realm of life, but if you've ever hunted and you're sitting in the woods in those early hours as the sun is about ready to come up, do you know that there's some animals that can make some incredible noises? And they respond in such a way that you're like, "Oh boy." You're like, "What is that?" And then a little squirrel scampers by, you know, or something like that. And you're like, oh man, what am I afraid of that for, you know? But I'm telling you what, there have been times, and normally if you go out in a hunting party and you're just sitting in a location or in a tree stand, you're spread out from other people at a pretty good distance. Now, we always hunted and we'd have walkie-talkies or we'd have some way, and I'd be on the radio, we'd have a talking thing there, and I'd be like, "Did you hear that? I've got one right here. Did you hear that? No. What did it sound like? I don't know, but I think it's big." You know, I mean, that's how that conversation is going, because we're trying to be so quiet in the woods, right? I'm telling you, this is a nightmare. This is not made for TV, or this is not Hollywood. This is reality. And Jesus Christ revealed this nightmare. Revelation chapter number 9, verse number 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 and 3, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. I'm telling you, the demonic world is a living nightmare. And that living nightmare is scared to death because Jesus has come ashore. With all of this in mind, with the nature of this man who is shackled by the demonic activity, with the understanding that this man has been confronted with the presence of deity, would you notice number 3 with me, verses 13 to 17? We have a man that's saved by the power of the deliverer. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it into the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. This man is saved by the power of the deliverer. Number one, he is freed from his chains. What it must have been like to see him in bondage to the demonic activity, and Jesus says, "Away with you," and then interacts with that man now. He sends them into this swine, and the swine run violently down, and they basically, it's mass suicide. as all these pigs die. He's saved by the power of the deliverer. Number one, he's freed from his chains. But notice number two with me that he is now focused in on Christ. Look at what happens when they come and they see him the next time. Again, if we go back to the early stages, he's not confined by any man. He's not clothed. He's acting out in any way he wishes because the demonic activity had full sway. But look at him now. And when he was come into the ship, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. This is verse 15. And had the legion sitting, that's never happened, and clothed, and in his right mind. Now would you look at the next four words, because these don't make sense. And they were afraid. It's almost as though they become content, accepting of the demonic activity. So much so that they expected to come out and see him cutting himself and crying out and doing all these things in the tombs. And now that he's sitting and communicating and clothed and in his right mind, they're scared. What a difference. What a difference when this man came into contact with Jesus. Can I say to you this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, say, well, Pastor, I'm not demon-possessed. I'm just kind of living my own way and doing my own thing. Okay, maybe you're not possessed by demonic activity. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, can I say it to you this way? You're not in your right mind. You're not living the fullest life. You're still clothed in your own rags of wickedness. Can I say to you this morning that in truth, there is a great cry. And while physically you may not be cutting yourself, emotionally and in activities of life, you have a great void. You see, Jesus Christ desires to have a relationship with every person, but he does not force the relationship. You see, my friend, Jesus stands at the door and knocks, but it's up to any man to open the door and to allow him to come in. You know, this morning, we will not coerce anyone into salvation, but we do desire to tell you the truth that you might be converted. Well, Pastor, I'm not in bondage to demons. Yes, my friend, but you are in bondage to sin. And you are in bondage to your family, the family of Satan. And would you realize the gravity of your direction, as the Bible points out in John chapter 3? He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. And the wrath of God abideth on him. Would you hear me this morning? That as much as this story would cause the hair on your arms to stand up, as much as it would cause you to be fearful of the nightmare and of their name and of this kind of demonic activity and what had happened when these individuals controlled a man, would you hear me that if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, these will be your companions in the lake of fire for all eternity? And if you think the crying out was bad around the tombs in this time, it doesn't even begin to compare to what the Bible says was the crying out in Mark chapter 9 when God unveils to us the nature of hell and its fury. You see, remember, God never intended for anyone to spend an eternity in hell. But because of man's rejection of the Savior, God, who had intended hell to be the dwelling place of the devil and his angels, the Bible says without Jesus Christ, you are on a collision course with that eternal destination. Pastor, that doesn't sound like a loving God. My friend, would you understand this morning that a loving God sent his only begotten Son who took your place on the cross of Calvary that you might be saved, that you might receive new clothing in him and be released from the chains of bondage to sin, that you might have an eternal destination in heaven as your home. You see, we're looking at a literal story where a man was literally in bondage to demonic activity. But I'm saying to you this morning that there are many that could be sitting before me that are still in the family of darkness and they've yet to come to the light. And boy, it'd be a great blessing to see you come this morning and to receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be delivered from the chains that have shackled you to this point. Well, Pastor, everybody around me thinks that I'm a good person. They think that I'm a saved individual. The truth of the matter is it does not matter one bit what other people think. It matters as to what God already knows about you. And the Bible clearly details for us that God knows those that are his. This one had been possessed of the devil, but Jesus came ashore, and he's now possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's an awful lot of people in our world today that are in the same boat as this man. Oh, but they're carrying on in life with regular jobs and regular suits and ties and regular dress-up clothes and business wear. They drive back and forth to work every day. They live in a comfortable place. They're not in the tombs, and they're not crying out. They look very normal to everyone around them. Perhaps they're a moral person. Perhaps they're a good citizen. But in truth, they're in the same lost condition that this man was in. And perhaps one of those types of people is sitting before me this morning. Can I say it to you this way? Jesus has come on shore, and he can change your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time and your word. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the difference that you made when you came on shore. This man had been shackled by demonic activity. The demons feared and trembled when Jesus came on shore. They were startled by the presence of deity. They had full reign. In that region, until Jesus came on shore. But Jesus changed the course of this man. He'd been shackled. He was possessed. He was headed for hell. But Jesus came on shore and brought deliverance. We would look at this story here in Luke chapter 8 and the story in Luke chapter 5 and we'd say, man, what a supernatural miracle. And we'd be right in saying that. But I tell you what, the same God that was at work in these passages is still at work this morning in 2019. And he comes to this place this morning, to this location, to this auditorium, and he offers in love the gift of salvation to anyone that would accept it. Perhaps there are some that look very normal to everyone else down the row. But in truth, in their heart, they know that they've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Would you work in hearts and lives right now? Lord, I don't want any believer to walk out of the service today without dealing with some matter in this time of invitation. And so perhaps we as believers would focus our attention in the time of invitation on a friend, a coworker, a neighbor who perhaps we understand is under the grasp of satanic oppression and possibly possession. And today, a believer or two or more would spend their time in this invitation just again bringing that name before the throne of God and begging for mercy. As I think back to that story there in Vanuatu, Jeremy Pinero understood that it was not normal for those young people to be found as they were. There's no telling what kind of damage that Satan can do to a life. And so that which we would see in a life would appear to be very far from normal. Well, you know what? We can be changed today.